Our Old Testament reading is in three parts this morning. It's from Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 to 7, Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 to 6, and Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 to 19. It's God's covenant with Abraham. Lana, you've got the... You can lead us through these readings. God promises... What I'm looking at here, God promises Abraham a child. He not only promises him a child, but he promises him descendants. And not only descendants, but also a land, the land of Canaan, to live in and to call home. And during these readings, you'll see that 10 years have gone by and there's still no child. Thank you, Lana.
Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 to 7. Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it." Now we move to chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now we move to chapter 17. Reading from verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Then God said, "No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year." Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lana. So here's the promise of God to Abraham that he would be the descendants would come from him. And of course he had no children, and so we go through the scenario 10 years later that Hagar, the maidservant, is given to Abraham as his wife, and she conceives and bears a son called Ishmael, and as the father, and here's the flesh taking over the promise of God. And we have Ishmael, the father of Islam. The Islam today goes back to Ishmael. And so here we see the conflict in the world today is between, a lot of the conflict in the world today is between Islam and the West, or the so-called believers in the world today. And this conflict is what goes on within us here this morning, the flesh against the Spirit of God. And here the flesh has taken over. We have Ishmael born and the beginning of strife. But 10 years have gone by, still no child. Sarah resorts to and this was the custom of the day of the flesh, that a barren wife could get a child through one of her maidservants. And sadly, Abraham sinfully yielded to Sarah's insistence, and later Ishmael was born. Also, when strife erupted between Sarah and Hagar, Sarah blamed Abraham. Does that remind you of Adam? When the fall came in the Garden of Eden, and Adam blamed God for putting this woman on this earth, and so here we go. But then it was another 14 years before God would bless Sarah and give her a son Isaac. So it was 25 years in all. Through this promised child, Isaac, God would establish his everlasting covenant, which goes down to today. Here God dispels any doubt of his covenant by naming the son to be born to Sarah as Isaac. And the true believer today in Christ is a descendant of Abraham and Isaac, and has God's promise of eternal life, and will, by faith, enter into God's rest. This morning we're looking in the New Testament at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. We're looking at the patriarch Abraham and Sarah, his wife. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, where we read here, "By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." Or the first thing that comes to mind here is, what is impossible for man is possible with God. And God delights to give life in death. In verses 11 and 12 here, by faith, and we'll work through this, by faith Sarah received miraculous power to give birth to Isaac. By nature this could not happen. By nature this could not happen, for Sarah was barren and also past the age of childbearing. Thus the birth of Isaac was of God's power. He had promised, and he performed it. Sarah believed the promise of God, that God had made, but she had to rest on his faithfulness and was given strength to become Isaac's mother. And we can learn here that from one who was old and in her twilight years, there springs life as the stars in multitude, as we read, as Lana read in Genesis chapter 15. So we see here that Abraham and Sarah were separated by God, or to God. They left everything that they owned in Ur of the Chaldeans and followed the call of God. And so they were instruments, you might say, in God's hand. We look back to the beginning of Scripture. When Adam sinned, he and the whole human race died twice. They died twice. First of all, they lost life of paradise and of God. They died spiritually and began to die physically. And so this is what happens to us today. But God's great work of love and mercy is surrounding us today, because it's restoring that life, reconciling us back to God, back to where we were meant to be before the fall. This is what happened when Abraham and Sarah both were old, as good as dead, but obedient in faith. And God began to fulfill his promise to make Abraham, or make him, a great nation. Isaac's life was a special God-given life. And later again, this happened with the birth of Jesus. Jesus Christ was born of a woman to save all who believe. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was chosen by God with Joseph for this very purpose, that Jesus would come be born in the flesh. The almighty power of God revealed in the miracle birth in Bethlehem by Mary, who was obedient in faith. Just as truly as in the life of Adam, the life of Isaac and the life of Jesus was the immediate work of God's power, and so is his work of divine power today in our souls here this morning. We are born again to grow to perfection in the eyes of God. We are in this position because of our faith. Nothing that we have done, nothing that we could march on and be proud of. This is the love and the mercy of God because of our faith and trust in him. We are called out from the rest of the world. But know this. This is the warning. We do not take over what God has begun in us and grow in our own strength. We need to listen to God, pray to God, read the scriptures, be in with God, and not in our strength, but in his strength. We grow as a tree grows every day from that root from which it sprung. We continue to abide in Christ. We continue to abide in Christ. And this is the power and the work of faith. And I want to go back just for a moment. I just want to sidestep for a moment. Go back into the lives of the Israelites when they were taken captive by the Babylonians, because they were doing what was right in their own eyes, just as many people are doing today. Regardless of what God asks us of us in this life today, people are doing what they want to do. They're doing what they want to do. And the whole Jewish nation was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. And along with them went Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego. But these men kept their faith. They kept their faith in God. They trusted God and they kept doing what was right in the eyes of God, despite all of what was happening around them. The Babylonians made a spectacle of them. They were made an example of because of their faith. And yet their faith never wavered. Remember when Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were taken to task and they would not bow down and worship the golden idol that Nebuchadnezzar had made. And he said that they would be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace because they would not bow down to the idol that had been made. And Nebuchadnezzar says to him, "And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king." Could you imagine these three lonely people standing before this mighty king and his army, telling him that my God is going to deliver me? "But if not," even if God doesn't deliver us, they're saying, "but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." They'd just signed their death warrant, and of course they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and King Nebuchadnezzar's looking in at the fiery furnace. The three men are in there, and there's a fourth one in there with them. Look like the Son of God. And when they come out of Nebuchadnezzar called them out of the fiery furnace. And when they come out, they didn't even smell of fire or burning. This is the God we have faith in today. God used these men to make a statement to the heathens, and this can happen to you and I at any moment, depending on our faith. This is so important to get our head around the power of faith in Christ. Our spiritual life must grow in God and Christ alone. It is nothing of us, but of our faith in Him, like with Sarah. In John 15, verses 4 to 6, we read there, Jesus said, "Abide in me." And we do that by faith. "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned." Getting back to Abraham and Sarah, Sarah knew God had promised, but she had to wait 25 long years to have this child. And we know by the events of Hagar that her faith was tried and tested. At times the flesh took over, but she came back to him who promised, for he is faithful. And we must learn. We must learn to let God have his way in us, not to take off and to seek to do his work in the flesh. Because our salvation is not of works, lest anyone should boast. God knows our hearts. He knows the day we believed. He knows the number of hairs on our heads. He knows our first breath and our last breath. To not follow God is like the Israelites during the 40 years in the wilderness when they sought to go back into Egypt and died. Faith is the power by which we yield ourselves up to God to have his way with us. Like with Abraham and Sarah, God will teach us and show us if we allow him into our hearts. And we are then separated for his use. And this is teaching us of the love of the living God and his heaven of which we are to come. It speaks of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, who lives forever. And it speaks of the work that he does within us by giving us the Holy Spirit in the power of an endless life. This is a new and living way in which we are born by faith into God's presence. To a life within the veil, in the holiest of all, as we read in Hebrews 3, verses 7 to 11. Therefore the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, and we hear his voice the moment we start to speak of the scriptures, and we hear his voice in every word of the scriptures. And he says here, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers, this is the Israelites, tested me and tried me, saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with them and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. So God said, God's Spirit said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. They shall not enter my rest. God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the great promise for us today. He is the token and he is the pledge of what God will make of us. We read in John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Might be saved. So let us look to him who has paid in full the ransom needed to give us this new life. Let us look to Jesus Christ, the one who promised us new life. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Let us recognise just how helpless that we are in the flesh. And let us sink down before God in utter emptiness and wait upon him, and then walk with him in deep humility and meekness of soul, as have nothing to offer him. We have nothing to offer him. Jesus said, we are the temple of God. If we embrace the Holy Spirit, we are the temple of God. For he who promised is faithful. He will give us new life. He will give us new life plus the strength and the means to be what he wants us to be in this life. And that is a partaker of his Son, Jesus Christ. As partakers of Christ, we would be filled with his Spirit, both now and into everlasting life. And I want to close with a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. Now this is a promise of Jesus Christ. And he says here in verse 21, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." He's committed the judgment upon every person of this world to the Son. That is the one who hung on that cross in our place as our substitute. "That all should honour the Son just as they honour the Father. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." What a God we serve. And now to him who has loved us so dearly and washed us from our sins in his own precious blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. Now to him be glory and dominion both now and forevermore. Amen.